Hello, folks. If you ever heard the term golden calf, that's a reference that people use back to the book of Exodus. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the law of God, after 40 days of not coming down, the people decided to make a new God, to make a God in their own image. And they made a golden calf, and they began to bow down and to worship it, to make sacrifice to it, to dance around it. And they declared, "This is the God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt," when they knew, in fact, it was not. It was a God made by their own hands. The term golden calf can be applied in America. We have a golden calf that we worship, we bow down to. That calf is pride. We love pride. Raven pride, 49er pride, school pride, American pride. We love pride. But when God named the seven sins that he hates, the first thing he says is he hates a proud look. In Ezekiel, when he lists the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, for which he destroyed them, the first on the list is pride. God detests pride. The Bible says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Those who exalt themselves will be put down. And those who put themselves down, the Bible says, will be exalted. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, the Bible says, most men will declare everyone his own goodness, his own righteousness. We love to declare our own goodness. It hurts our pride to admit that we're sinners. It hurts our pride to admit that we're not the greatest thing in the world.
Let's hear it for the sinners.
We love our pride. We love our sin. We revel in it. Like a pig wallows in mire. Like a sheep that just walks off the cliff that doesn't know what it's doing. So we love our sin. And the Bible says everyone will declare his own goodness. But not before God. We cannot stand before God and declare our own righteousness. What standard of righteousness can we as human beings claim? Well, all we can do is compare ourselves to somebody else. The guy who tells white lies is better than the habitual liar. The habitual liar thinks he's better than the compulsive liar. The compulsive liar thinks he's better than the small-time thief. The small-time thief thinks he's better than the big-time thief. The big-time thief thinks he's better than the rapist. The rapist thinks he's better than the child molester. The child molester thinks he's better than the murderer. The murderer thinks he's better than the serial killer. The serial killer thinks he's better than the terrorist, and so on and so on. We always compare ourselves to somebody else. But when we face the righteousness of God, we find that we're not that good a person. When we face his law, his commandments, see, there has to be a standard of righteousness. There has to be a set standard. We can't just compare ourselves to somebody else. That's a faulty standard. So what standard do we follow? We can't follow the Jehovah's Witness Bible because it violates their own beliefs and declares Jesus to be God. We can't rely on the Book of Mormon because Joseph Smith made false prophecies about the building of a temple. According to Deuteronomy chapter 18, he's a false prophet. We can't rely on the Quran because it declares that the Bible is the words of Allah. So therefore, we can't rely on it either. It just points back to the Bible. The Bible has to be our standard of goodness. God gave his standard of goodness when he gave us the Ten Commandments. He says, if you bear false witness, you're a liar. He says, if you look with lust, you're an adulterer. If you hate somebody, you're a murderer. He tells us in his law that if we put other things before him, we are idolaters. He declares that before him, all men are guilty sinners. How about keeping the law? Can we keep the law in order to attain righteousness? The Bible says in the book of Romans, the law was given to show us our sin. The law was given as a mirror to look into. You can't look into a mirror and fix your looks. You can't look into a mirror and make yourself look pretty. A mirror can only show you what needs to be fixed. but you cannot look in the mirror to fix anything. So it is, we look at the law of God. We cannot fix anything in our lives simply by following the law, because that only was given to show us our unrighteousness. It works as a mirror. It allows us to see what needs to be fixed. But everyone will declare his own goodness, but no one can stand before God and be righteous by his standards. He gave us an impossible standard to keep, and he did that so that no flesh could glory in his sight. Not because we've all broken his law, because we're all violators of his law. We must all be condemned by a holy and righteous God who cannot look upon sin. But God in his goodness sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, who bore the penalty for our sins. And now he offers us redemption from those sins. It's true, we cannot keep the law to be righteous. We cannot look at God's standard and say that we met it. But we can trust in his Son and be forgiven of all the sins we've ever committed. If good works could save us, Jesus Christ did not have to die. Good works cannot save us. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We cannot go to church to please God. We cannot read our Bibles to please God. We cannot pray to please God. We cannot tithe to please God. We cannot dress properly to please God. We cannot give to the poor to please God. We cannot follow the laws of the land to please God. We cannot be well-learned and well-educated to please God. The Pharisees were all these things. But Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed theirs, you will never enter the kingdom. How can we have a righteousness greater than the Pharisees? And the answer is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Son of God, who came into the world, who took upon him humanity to live a perfect and sinless life. The Bible says that when he died upon the cross, he died in the place of sinners. He took upon him the punishment that was due us for our sins. Only by repenting of our sins and believing in him and turning to him can we put on his righteousness. Only then can we stand in God's sight, clothed not in our own righteousness, clothed not in our sin, but in the righteousness of the Son of God. If my friend Jesse here were going to a dinner party and he had to have a tuxedo to wear, he couldn't walk in with that clothes on. He couldn't walk in with that sweatshirt on. But if I gave him a tuxedo and he put that on and he walked in my tuxedo, he'd be accepted. He could walk in and enjoy the dinner party. So it is with heaven. We cannot enter heaven in our own garments. Our garments are stained with our sin. Our garments are filled with self-righteousness. Our garments are filthy rags before a holy God. We can only enter the gates of heaven by putting on the righteous robe of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That is the only hope for redemption. That is the only hope for forgiveness of sins. We cannot do it ourselves. A church cannot do it for us. You cannot simply read this Bible or say you believe in Jesus and get to heaven. It's not a mental belief. We must repent of our sins. We must turn to him, trust completely in him for our salvation. Buddha cannot save us. The Pope cannot save us. Muhammad cannot save us. None of those could save themselves. Only the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, offers us the free pardon of our sins. Only through him can we ever achieve eternal life and a right standing with God. We must see our sins as God sees them, something that condemns us before God. We must stop declaring everyone our own righteousness. We must put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. Not our religion, not our good works. Definitely not a football team, or a career, or a family, or a nation. Only through the Son of God is forgiveness of sins found. Only through the Son of God can we stand before God, clothed in His own righteousness, and stand before Him. Not of ourselves. The Bible says, by grace you are saved through faith, but not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and few there be that find the way of life, but many go in the broad road of destruction. We must turn to Him. In Isaiah, He says, look to Me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other. We must look to Him alone. Don't let your friends talk you out of it. Don't let your pride talk you out of it. Consider eternity, or you will end up in hell, condemned by a holy and righteous God. Every day that you sin, you store up more and more wrath for yourself against the day of judgment. Turn to Him and be saved. Turn to Him and be saved. This gentleman behind me would have you to perish, but I would not. He would have you perish. We love you. We have traveled from around the country to give to you the words of life. Don't let some sinner keep you from God. Repent of your sins, as we all have done, and turn to Jesus Christ. He is going to forgive you and grant you everlasting life. God bless you all.